Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Now that we're in James, we're going to study through the book of James in a moment in our church. Please turn with me to James chapter 3 if you have a Bible, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1. It's quite a pleasure to be able to speak today. It wasn't a great pleasure not to be here last Sunday, because we heard about the baptism and the sharing and the tears. I mean, I love seeing teenagers cry. Something about that. I'm involved with the youth ministry in our church. There's something about when my heart opens up with a teenager. There's something very deep going on there. It's not often you see that at a bus stop or, you know, on a football field. Someone just, you know, I love that. Only Jesus can open the hearts of our teenagers. We had a great time. We visited Martin and Luena up in Norwich. We'll have to visit them. And it was just a great time. We saw Marvin and Charisse. They had a small gathering at their house. They baptized the couple up there. And there's other people around studying the Bible. And it was just an encouraging time to go up there and connect with the Southeast, keep them connected there and help them out. So we are looking at the taming of the tongue. Okay? And I just want to share a few facts with you guys before we start. The average person spends a fifth of their life talking. The average person spends a fifth of their lives talking. A single day, the average person could speak enough words that could fill a single 50-page book in the average day. One year, 132 books, each containing 400 pages, could be filled with someone's speech. Some of you go, I didn't even know there's a book in me. There's a book in you every day. On average, we have an opportunity to speak, or we generally speak 700 times a day. We open our mouths and something comes out in speech. I mean, speech is just, it's all over us. It's part of us. It's part of our DNA. But it's got challenges, and we're going to look at some of that today. I've only got 2 points. The first one is God calls for a high standard. Amen. For speech. God calls for a high standard for speech. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I included us in that. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord, the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and curse. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. My first point is God has a high standard for speech. Firstly, for teachers. Now, many of us here want to be teachers and leaders. And as a body of people, God wants to encourage that. If we have gifts, we should serve. We should get involved. We should rise up. But James is saying here, no, you shouldn't. In fact, you want to be a leader, you want to count the cost. And you want to think about it, first of all. Because you will be judged more strictly. You know, teachers can have an incredible influence. I'm a primary school teacher myself. And I know what I say to a child. If I say something about a child, it can affect them for weeks, months, terms, if not years. but I have to rebuild their trust. If I say something about their behavior and their, what they're doing rather than themselves, it's a different matter. And they need to hear that. And we have to be careful. You know, I want to open it up now. What are some of the kind or positive things teachers, and we're talking about school teachers now, said to you guys in the past? And I'll think of some positives. Jay. Gifted individual. Now Jay is a great painter. You don't, I haven't seen any of Jay's artwork. That had a big impact, I can tell. Ethan. There's no chance. You can have a forgiveness. Forget or sorry. Positive. So we're still, I'm thinking ahead here. Great. So a teacher will never forget people. Most gifted at building people up. Anyone else? Mom. Right, and God's been correct. I mean, these things have lasting impressions on. Okay, so let's flip it now. What about? Oh, go on.
My driving instructor.
Okay.
Just take a little more time.
Take a little more time. Yeah. What about some negative things then? I mean, you know, we probably remember those more. Oh, I remember when the teacher said this. Or I don't know. Anyone got any negatives? That, you don't need to name names. We're not about that. Anyone remember some times not good experiences? Linda. Really? Amen. So she remembers teachers telling her off there for that. Maybe that's a hit. I have to do it. Great. And now she's up on stage here worshiping for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remembers it now. I mean, these are deep things. I know. Sure. You're a waste of space. Morris.
Teachers said to me that the mistake that I make, no artist in their right mind can make.
Wow. Morris, the second art teacher, Morris. Morris. Let's move on there. I mean, guys, we can see that, you know, the kingdom of the teacher, that someone's had to overcome those. It's funny, some of the negative ones, people have overcome and they've become strengths. Praise God. But they can have a really major influence. When someone in authority, someone in a teaching position says something, declares something, announces something, mate, it kind of sets in stone a little bit in our hearts. Oh, I've got this kind of voice. I'm this kind of person. You know, teachers can have a major influence in our schools, how much more in God's church? I mean, we're called to teach it many times in our families, in our family groups, in this auditorium. How are we doing? How do we do with this? You know, you're going to be called. How much preparation or thought or prayer are you putting in to the teaching that you're doing? It is a high calling. I mean, Jesus took the Jewish teachers to task. Matthew 23, you can read through the seven woes. Word hypocrite six times in seven woes. He's like, you say this and you do this, you say this, you do this. You know, teaching is a high calling. And Mark 12, verse 38 to 40, Jesus says, these kind of teachers will be punished more severely because their teaching was in error compared to their way of life. You know, there's an implication that as teachers, we have to teach the right doctrine. We have to teach the right course for people's lives. Oh gosh, the judgment's going to be heavy. And you might think, well, I don't have any desire to get up to the pulpit. I've never really. Hey, when you reach out to someone and you share the gospel versus teaching, you go, are you teaching sound doctrine to those you're reaching out to? Are you going to places where sound doctrine is taught? There's a whole way of teaching out there. This is not just in the Jewish times, this is right now. A lot of incorrect doctrine, lack of depth, lack of Bible study, superficial Bible study, and with ulterior motives such as selfish gain, financial profit. There's a lot of teaching going on there, which is not correct teaching. Do you know that you're teaching true doctrine? You'd better be, because we're going to be judged. God calls teachers to a high standard. Amen. God has a high standard of speech for everyone. In verse 5 of James 3, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. I mean, these are powerful words. A world of evil, set the whole course of his life on fire, set ablaze by hell. I mean, this is a dangerous item we possess right here. Forget loaded weapons. You got the tongue is something serious, James is saying. And we must be careful how we use it. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. It's not just teachers. All of us need to be careful how we speak. Verse 36 of Matthew 12. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Gosh. Now, James 2, we're talking about action a lot. James, if you're going to have faith and deeds, it's got to be combined. I mean, how you live your life, how you walk the walk, it's what counts. Here, James is throwing it, coupling up. Hey, speech is up there too.
Yeah.
You could be like, walk out, I'm doing great. And then things are coming out of your mouth, which is just don't match. There's not synergy there. You know, every word, high standards. High standards. You know, there's so many words that Satan wants to get us to say. So many small sparks that can start a satanic fire. That can not only harm ourselves, but others around us. Check out some of these. It's a fire, one of these forest fires. So some negative forms of speech. Gossip. Let's pause right there. I did some research on this. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 11, 2 Timothy 3 verse 3, Titus 2, Paul uses this phrase, that there were malicious gossips in the church in those days. And basically to look out for them, to teach against them. And he warns Timothy and Titus. This term malicious gossip, the word in Greek is diabolos. Diabolos. Anyone recognize that phrase? That's the name for the devil. You know, that's the Greek name for the devil. Now it means like to toss out, to throw out. Satan thrown out of heaven. You know, sometimes we chat, we're throwing things out there. That's satanic right there. If they're negative things about someone, if they're not building someone up, we're gossiping. We're tossing out juicy pieces of news, but in reality, we're doing the work of the devil.
Right.
Guys, gossip is a serious thing. We've got to be careful. It's a big thing in a church. Can be a big thing in a church. Our church, guys, we're in each other's lives. We're in each other's lives. Not church, maybe where's the friendly handshake that everybody is? You'll see it's not like that. Because we care. We're trying to allow Jesus' compassion for one another. So we're trying to get your number, stay in touch, have a chat, study the Bible. That's what we're about. But the negative side of that can be like, wow, did you hear this? This brother told me this. I heard about this sister. And it's a dangerous ground that we walk on if we step into that territory. How are we doing with that? You know, putting other people's people down, bragging, boasting, teenagers. Oh, boasting, man. Oh, my word. My Facebook page is full of teenagers boasting. I mean, this, that, the best, the greatest. If not about themselves, maybe about a football player, a basketball player. I'm not saying your team's doing this, Terry. It's just a big thing. It's a big thing in teenage lives. Have you got the latest, the best, the greatest, the biggest, the fastest? You know, we got to be careful, guys. There's a whole lot of boasting we can get involved in. Negative speech, exaggerating. We're talking about false teaching. Complaining. Another big one in the church. Another big one. The church said to me, we're going to turn up. Well, you know, don't know much of the hall. I do like a pew. In fact, where are the pews? The way they said that, I wasn't too keen on. And I'm not just talking about, maybe I'm talking about within, we were involved. So we talk about real things to him. We try to say, you know, this is good, this is not good. We talk about sin in our church. And it's easy for us to be like, yeah, I'm just going to have a bit of a moan about that. That's a sin. That's a bad form of speech. You know, are we lifting people up? If we've got, you know, I'm a leader in the church, right? I serve in the leadership group. God has called me to serve. I don't have loads of people. There are some brothers who talk to me and they say, well, I think we could do better with this. And I think this would be great. And here's a solution for this. But it doesn't happen much. Which makes me think, do people talk about it anyway, but just don't come to me? I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe there's opinions that I don't hear as a leader. You know, but we talk with one another about it in a negative way. You know, we've got to think about it. It's tempting to fall into Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. Great scripture. James 5, verse 9. Philippians 2, 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. It's been one of my scripture memories for 2 years now. I could naturally be a complainer. I'm not innocent in this. Flattering. Yeah, nice, nice. Goes a bit like that. Everything's fine, but something else is going on. Lying, cursing, swearing, talking too much. You know, Proverbs 10, verse 19, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Just talking can be a sin. Too much. You know, I've put other things up there, arguing, being disrespectful, inappropriate jokes or texts. Again, teens. I come around where the text message world can be a whole world of evil. Now, it might not come from your tongue, but from your fingertip, it's speaking. Let me tell you. And there's loads, I've seen this. I was chatting with some teens in the Thames Valley team retreat. They were saying at their school that the flirtatiousness of text messaging is like a cancer. Like, they start chatting with a girl, it gets to places, it goes places, and nothing necessarily happens. And these kids are going to church, but there's just what's implied is quite deep. Teens, we gotta watch what we're saying. And a lot of it's electronic what you're saying now. Status, text.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your speech.
Yeah.
It's coming from your heart. We're gonna talk about that later. You gotta watch that. Don't get drawn into silly flirtation, sexual innuendo text messaging.
Yeah.
It's you know, the Bible preaches flee from sexual immorality. You know, don't hang about it. Get away from it. You know, what a world of evil. You know, it can corrupt the whole body. Let's have a look at this then. Some positive forms of speech. You know, God is not about just, some people feel Christianity, don't do this, this is the rules. No, the idea is that actually this is something that we're meant to use for the good. And we're meant to use it well. You know, before I move on, I was going to share the last point. You know, with swearing, I became a Christian at 24, living in Manchester. Everybody lives in Manchester. Swearing is like, it's just on the buses, on the train. It's just kind of rife around society. And I was no stranger to that. I used to swear a lot. I had to repent of that before I got baptized. Because to be saved in Christ, you need to repent of your sin and be baptized. So I repented of my swearing, and I stopped swearing, and I was baptized. I came out of the water, and maybe in the next few months, I'd be in a situation where friends were swearing, or I was, and I would swear too. It would just shock me. But I repented of that. And, you know, I'd chat with the brothers, and I don't feel good. But slowly it went away.
Amen.
Sometimes these things say to try and get it again, and fall into many mistakes. None of us are perfect. Scripture, verse 2 says that. None of us are perfect. You're perfect here, guys. This is a church of sinners. So we might need to help you with that. You know, but and then one month, I was about 6 months a Christian, I went home to my mum. And I've shared before, we were in a tough relationship at that time, and I got into an argument with her. And it was like a fire what came out of my mouth. It was like a wild fire. And I let out this tirade of just verbal garbage. And it really sunk me. It was like, oh, Dave, what? You know, and again, I had to deal with that. And I prayed about that. I chatted about that. We talked it through. You know, we got to have that high standard. Sometimes we're going to slip. Sometimes things, this was a tough time for me. There's lots of emotions around that. And I had to watch going home and different things because there were just tough situations that I found myself in where I wasn't the strongest. and I fall back into sin. Guys, we gotta be careful what we're saying and where we are, because that will affect what we're saying. And you know, if you're a young Christian today, guys, maybe you'll fall into something. Satan might just try to trip you up with something. Guys, stand up again. Don't get down. Satan will get a double victory there. He'll get you down as well as getting you to sin. You know, stand up tall, move on. You know, it's incredible, but a few words can destroy years of what you built someone up. It could just destroy things. You let one word slip at the wrong moment, relationships could be over. Promises broken. Bad impression that will never fade. You know, Satan loves to use our tongues to divide us. Loves it. Loves it. Easy for him. Politicians often get tripped by the media. One word out of place could ruin a career, bring down a government. The tongue is just, you know, it's a world out there. But God has an incredibly high standard for us to use our speech, not just to avoid the negative, but to use the positive. You know, here's some positive ways. Openness, honesty. Teens, again, probably the biggest thing you've got to grab hold of is being open. You know, not putting up the front and hiding behind it. No, letting the doors open and talking about your lives. However ugly it may be, that's a great way we can speak. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what's really going on. When a teen says that to me, I'm like, man, I so respect you. And our parents, just a word for the parents. That could be our first reaction. Sometimes as parents, when my son does something wrong, my first reaction would be like, let me tell you what you need to have been doing right there. But with openness, if someone's open with us, then the first thing would be, I so appreciate, respect, uplift you for that. Because it's really hard for teenagers to do. Really hard. I know you know that, but I just feel I need to say that. Encouragement, building people up. Praise of God. We had a men's prayer evening on Friday. It was fantastic. It was on praise, and it was about just using our words and singing and just praising God more. How are we doing praising God? How are we doing coming into the church and giving in singing, in worship, in dancing? I know it's not about speech, but we were just talking about, are we doing that enough? Because it's not very giving to come in and stand and not sing. Yeah. It's not building up God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being silent. Let me just say, being silent, you can have any words going on. You might not come out. You don't like that preacher stuff.
Don't feel good about this.
God, we gotta be more giving. We gotta be giving. I love it when I come in this. I saw a Necker and One Aiders. They were like this, man. Let the Lord, our God reigns. Jesus, amen. I'm like, man, I need to be more like that. I'm too inhibited. I'm too English. My English nature is just. You know, I love that, you know. Praising God. Training someone. Correcting someone. Rebuking someone. Oh, is that not negative? A rebuke is so positive. I mean, it's so positive. Well, we'll look at a scripture in a moment regarding correct doctrine. We're talking about doctrine, singing prayer, making peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, you think about these guys who are, you know, the Kofi Annans and the Ban Ki-moon. These guys, they use their speech very well. It's a difficult situation and they make peace. Do we do the same? You know, is your life more full of positive things, positive speech than negative? How are we doing in the fellowship? Do you gossip in church? Do you gossip when you get away from church? Or are you full of encouragement? You know, are you full of encouraging words towards people? I was privileged to go to Roger Fimpong's 50th birthday party last night. I'd say the sharing was just like, I've known Roger, there's these guys standing, I've known Roger for 25 years. I've known him since he was baptized. And Roger's just a great guy. Everybody knows him in the South. Just great. I can't even believe he's 50. He looks so young. But he's like, when I first came to church, I'd go to a birthday party and people would share for one another. I'd be blown away. I've been blown away. I'd be like, what I appreciate about you is your integrity, your focus. I'd be like, man, they know each other really well. And then they tell them as well. Yes. I mean, that just wasn't my culture. It wasn't my culture. It was more like, well, you've got a great music collection. You've got a great car. Well, you know, I love your jacket. Wow. You're not turning it. It was all that kind of praise. That's not encouragement. We're talking about deep in the heart stuff.
Amen.
I couldn't relate. You know, texts. We talked about the negative texts are a great way to encourage people. Practically free. I'm sure they're going to become free sometime. We'll look back at text messages and we'll go, why do we even do that? We could just now talk face to face.
Right.
Guys, use that. Some of you got thousands and thousands of free texts. Use it. Encourage. You see, something small. Praise, encourage. You know, God has a higher standard of how we interact. You know, how are we doing with that? Are we using it? Lastly, on this point, God has a high standard for speech all of the time. Matthew 12. We shared this already. Sorry. I'll come on to it in a moment. Let's go back to James, verse 9. So I'm getting excited. Sometimes I lose my way when I get excited. James 3, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The implication here of tree and fruit and spring and water is if we're speaking curses and insults, that's actually our nature. That's actually who we are. That's the implication, right? Sometimes we think it's the other way around. We think like, okay, a small insult here, a curse here, it doesn't really matter as long as I'm spiritual the rest of the time. It's the other way around. Now what he's saying is this stuff's coming out of your mouth, what's at the root of it? You were a tree you probably never thought you were.
Yeah.
You probably have this expression, you're this gorgeous tree, and yet stuff's coming out, or you're this spring of beautiful water, but the salt water coming out of your mouth. You've got to go back and see what's the tree about, what's the spring about. It's a high standard, all the time. You know, praising God, what a phenomenal thing. And yet cursing humans? I mean, God wants us to deal with that. And the hypocrisy of it, praising 1 minute, cursing the next. I've got the wrong scripture here, but it's, let me just turn back, let me check it, sorry guys. It's 12, maybe Luke 6, but, Matthew 12, I was in the right place. Matthew 12 and verse 34. This is Jesus talking. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. You know, how is our heart? It's about the heart. But like we can say, well, I'm not going to speak. You know, I'm going to just not speak in this situation. That might be a good thing. You've got, you know, self-control there. But actually, it's how our hearts are doing. You know, what is going on inside? I want to just share a video now that just really helped me to understand this. I mean, Jesus, James want consistency, not blessings on a Sunday, curses on a Monday. Can we dim the lights? Thanks. very much. You know, in our bit on the drive, and he goes, that's me. Me and Tia were sat at the table. I was like, that's me. And she's like, because I can't make excuses for something. I'm like, hey, do we want to get on the time? Yeah, is that your journey to church? Sometimes it's in your mind. But sometimes, not often. Is that regularly your journey to work? Getting out of the house? I mean, it's a heavy video. You know, are there certain times when your speech is good and others when it's bad? And you're fine with that. We all sin, but what are we doing about it? You know, God is calling you to have a high standard of speech, not a high standard of religiosity. We can all look great. But what's really going on? Second last point. God is the only one who can tame the tongue. God is the only one. Back in James 3. God is the only one who can tame the tongue. We sometimes read this and and we think, well, nothing can be done. But in verse 2, it's encouraging. It says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. It implies that you can control your tongue there. And that if you do that, self-control is actually, it's really helped me this. I'm studying out self-control. You can control your whole body if you can do your tongue. And verse 3, it says, actually, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. I mean, there's a bit in the horse there. It's big things. You control the mouth of a horse, you control the whole animal. It then says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. It is possible. And here's some examples. James is saying where it's been done. But down in verse 7, we read, and it says, also carries on, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, Matthew 19, verse 26, you need to turn there. It says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It doesn't say that the tongue can't be tamed. It says no man can tame it. You know, no funky philosophy about speaking right or positive thought or energy or, you know, man-centered doctrine.
Yeah.
No, it will not wash.
Right.
Next day, next week, it'll be coming out. The only one who can tame the tongue is God. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 26, verse 63, Jesus is silent before his accusers. You know, Jesus, God, has the ability to control his tongue in very difficult, ultimately the most difficult situation anyone could ever face in the world. And yet Jesus has that ability. You know, it's really encouraged me with self-control. I think, wow, if I can start with the tongue, well, that's it. It says I can even control my whole body. Tongue is going to be the hardest thing, but with God, with prayer, with Bible study, it's possible. Turn to Psalm 141, last scripture. Psalm 141, Psalm of David, picking up in verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let them not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let them rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. That's why I said that rebuke. Sometimes we see it as a bad thing. David's like, that's a blessing right there. Let's bring it on. Let him do it. And it's interesting, verse 4, that the heart is always close with the speech there. You know, keep a guard over my lips, God. Help me, God. I don't want to say the wrong thing. But watch this, most of all, because this is where it's coming from. Help me with my heart. It's difficult in challenging situations, but only God can change. We've got to pray this kind of prayer. We've got to study it out. We've got to go to God. We've got to talk. We've got to confess some things. If today challenges you, you've got to get it out. Talk about only God can change us. You know, it could be anything. God is the one. Whatever issues you're facing today, guys, we look at something like the tongue. We look at something like, it could be finances, family issues. And we just go, I just don't have the ability to deal with this. It is just a burden in my life. I've tried everything. I've got advice from mankind, from doctors. It's just not happening. Only God can change it. He is the only one. God has brought you here today because he wants to get involved.
Yeah.
And once he gets involved, it could get worse before it gets better, but he will deal with it whole, completely, in every way. You know, the Holy Spirit in us as baptized disciples will help us tame the tongue of ourselves and will monitor what we say. You know, we need to come to God. Are you close to God today? How are your times? Are you spending time in prayer, in Bible study, getting close, helping him change you? Are you spending time getting to know him, talking in great ways to him, and then he will help you speak in great ways to others? In conclusion, we're not left hanging with James' discourse. The answer is that man cannot do it, but God can do it. And further passages in James 3 tells you more about using God's power and wisdom and not our own. Today, church, God has a high standard for our speech. If you're a teacher, if you're not a teacher, wherever you are and whatever the time, we must learn to control our tongue, which is only possible by God's strength. Thanks very much.
Amen.
I do want to thank Maul just for his message on the tongue. When we were dishing out the messages on James chapter 3, the brothers, we were chatting in McDonald's, and we looked at each other and we felt it landed on Maul. Any one of us could have done it. And we kind of felt that, you know, preaching a message on James 3 is a challenging message. Because we know that you can't escape it. You hear it, you read it. And I think sometimes you've got to take it seriously, especially for those of us who serve as ministers, you understand that when the scripture says we're going to be judged for every careless word, that's a pretty challenging statement. And, you know, even as